you have an outline, don't have an outline, raise your hand. Chuck will get you one. That's great. Thank you for being here. We want to talk about bearing fruit to the glory of God this morning. You know this because you're here all the time, but about every other Wednesday, we have lunch right after prayer time. And it's always a great time. We always look forward to that. Our folks always bring a lot of food. And by the way, you're always welcome to that. And if you don't want to be at a meeting that long on a Wednesday, just come for lunch. We have several who just come for lunch. And we have some who come and take it home. They grab and go. Right? They have special containers you can do that. And so I try to get here about 7:30-ish in the morning. I go to bed early. I like to get a head start. It's easier for me to spend time with the Lord and do studies in the morning. So about the time the food arrives here, I'm pretty hungry. And so the ladies know just to kind of hover over it as Grace and Nancy, everyone's setting up. But this past Wednesday, Frank used to bring fruit, all right? And it was always frozen. So by the time I got to the table, you can't eat frozen fruit. This particular Wednesday, I looked at the fruit. It was amazing. The watermelon were cut in little balls. How did you do that? Get in the shape of a little ball. I don't know how you did that. But the watermelon looked good. Was that cantaloupe? Yes. All right. Do you call it cantaloupe out here or muskmelon? We have. Okay. And then they had cherries. I mean, these were big, dark cherries. And I was looking around, looked to the left, looked to the right. Everybody else was eyeing the birthday cake they had for Nancy. So I was loading up on these cherries. And you always have to try it first because I went to a wedding once where I thought Don Harbaugh's wedding or who's ever Casey's wedding, I thought I was loading up on meatballs, but they were mushrooms. And you can't, yeah, Rachel, it was bad. And you just can't go back. I would. My wife doesn't want me to do that. I can't go back and put it back when people are there. She's down South Carolina, by the way, living large. She sent me a picture yesterday. She's out on the motorboat having a good time with the kids. God bless her. That's good. She'll be back. Anyhow, I asked Nancy. I said, where did you get these cherries? They were gigantic and good, like the promised land we're going to get to one day. And she said, well, I think I got them at Miller's. Well, that's a little off the trail for me. So I ate the cherries. I was thinking about that. And I said, I'm going out there. I got to go out there. I got to get more of these cherries. So I went out to Miller's. And there they are. There was a couple boxes of cherries there. They probably had the rest in the refrigerator. So I bought, they weren't cheap. I got the two boxes of cherries. And I asked them, I said, where did you get the cherries from? Did you grow them? And they said, no, we didn't grow them. We got them from Peter's Orchard. You know where Peter's is? I was thinking about, Doug, maybe we can go to the day. I was thinking about going out to Peter's, but that's way off the trail. I mean, they're cherries, and there are cherries. And you do a good job, Chuck. I don't want to offend you this morning because, you know, until I get that check. But anyhow, they were amazing. They were amazing cherries. And you know that they just didn't grow by themselves. You know that those trees, if you go out to Peter's, and we have done that about a handful of times, it's worth the trip. You know that out at Peter's, they are cultivating those trees. They are pruning those trees. They are watching out for insects. They are monitoring everything all the time. Why? Because when it's time for fruit production, they want theirs to be the best of the best. And if you go out there, you may pay a little more, but I'll tell you what, that is fruit well cultivated. You know, the same is true in your Christian life. There is fruit, and there is major fruit. And according to John 15, verse 8, Nancy, I'm getting hungry already. We shouldn't be talking about the lunches. John 15, verse 8, Jesus says this to the 11 disciples. If you saw in the video that Judas was gone. By this, my Father is glorified. You want to bring glory to God, and we all want to do that. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear what? Not just fruit, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Much fruit, good fruit. Last week, we looked at Psalm 92, kind of landed in verses 12 through 15. If you weren't with us, you want to study Psalm 92, particularly verses 12 through 15, where David talks about the fruit, the life of the righteous. And the great news, I think it's a great portion of Scripture, is that there's great news here that there's possible continual fruit-bearing, spiritual productivity, even into older age. It never stops till the Lord takes you home. It's wonderful. There's still hope. And if you haven't been as effective in being spiritually productive, there's still hope. There's still help. You can still get going. This week, as I mentioned, I want to look at fruit-bearing for the glory of God, really chasing through the outline this morning, Dr. Charles Ryrie's thoughts. Anyone here ever heard of Dr. Ryrie? Dr. Ryrie, he's with the Lord now. He's produced the Ryrie Study Bible. He was one of the main reasons Sue and I wanted to go to Texas to study theology. But I remember when I was in 10th grade. Anyone remember when they were 10th grade? It was hot back then, all right? But we didn't have all the, we won't get into that this morning, Don. We didn't have all the air conditioning and everything. I applied to work at Harvey Cedars Bible Conference, and I got rejected because they said I was too small. Can you imagine? Too small to work there. So my parents and a church sent me up to Word of Life Island for a week. You ever hear of Word of Life Island? It's a Christian camp up in the Adirondacks. And they put all the teenagers on an island. And once you're on the island, you can't get off the island except by a boat. There's not alligators around there. It's too cold for alligators. But it's a very, very deep lake, one of those super deep lakes. So the speaker for the week was Dr. Ryrie. And I don't remember when I was more bored listening to a speaker. And what made it worse, we were in that Pine Pavilion, the auditorium, if you were up there at Scroon Lake. What made it worse is that I was with a bunch of pastor kids, all right? And they told me, yeah, this guy's really boring. In fact, their pastor went to study with him in Dallas years ago. So, wow, this is really bad. A couple years later, I would have sold my soul to go down and study under Dr. Ryrie, all right? We worked really, really hard to get accepted at Dallas, and I couldn't wait. To get down to study with Dr. Ryrie. Wow, life changed. Be patient with the young ones, all right? Dr. Ryrie taught us how to be brief, how to be simple, how to be clear. And Dr. Ryrie was a major theologian, but he could just put it in one line. I think I quoted him last week, just one line. He was good. And so I want to look at some of what he had to say about fruit bearing for the glory of God. And then next week, Lord willing, I want to come back and do a deeper dive into what I think is a difficult but profound portion of God's word. You can be looking at this and really praying through that. In the meanwhile, it's John 15, first eight verses, where Jesus really talks about abiding and fruit bearing. I hear a lot of bad teaching using those verses because it's out of context. So we want to try to take a more of a deep dive there for you, all right? So let's jump in a little bit. I want to talk about, if you have your outline there, I want to talk about a biblical umbrella. And the biblical umbrella is the glory of God. That's why we read through Psalm 19 this morning, the glory of God. And a simple definition, I really can't even give you a simple definition of the glory of God. It's really profound. But when you're glorifying God, you are magnifying Him. You are pleasing Him. That's why we sing psalms and songs, spiritual songs that exalt the Lord. We exalt Him for who He is, what He has done, what He is doing, what He will do. We pursue the knowledge of God, and you cannot do that apart from the Holy Spirit. I mean, you can learn facts, you can read books, but unless the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts, we're really not going to be able to do that. A focus, major focus on prayer, answered prayer, is the glory of God. God is unique, His glory is unique, and He will guard His glory. And that's why, not all the time, but sometimes I get real nervous when our president is up there talking about all the great things he is doing because, you know, he's getting better at it, but you need to give God glory, okay? You need to just thank the Lord for what's going on. Isaiah 42, verse 8. You know this verse. Psalm 42, verse 8 says this, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to what? Who? No other. God's a jealous God. God's a jealous God. Nor my praise to carved idols. Watch out when we are not giving God glory. He wants the glory. He will get the glory. when we get into the New Testament, you discover very quickly that God's glory ought to regulate our freedom in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 6 and from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul ends up talking about modesty and sexual purity to a church that was in an incredibly immoral culture. We think ours is bad. It was always bad. We just have more technology to magnify it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul winds down this particular chapter by saying this. He says in verse 18, he says, "Flee from sexual immorality." And the idea here is flee and never stop fleeing. That's not just for young people. That's for everybody. Flee, keep fleeing, don't stop. "Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a dwelling place, a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." Verse 20, "You are bought with a price." What was that price we just sang about this morning? What was the price we were bought with? The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. Bottom line, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. And that has to do with what we do with our body, how we exhibit our body, what we wear, what we do not wear. We need to keep the glory of God in mind. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse, I want to read a little longer passage here. 1 Corinthians 10, 23 through 31, we have more about Christian freedom and the glory of God. The Christians were flaunting their freedom. You know, that now that I'm in Christ, I could do whatever I want to do. All right? I'm saved by grace. And Paul says, he quotes one of their sayings in verse 23. They were going around saying, "All things are lawful, all things are lawful." Paul says, "Yes, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up." All right, be careful there. "Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor." That's edification. "Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience, for the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof." There was an issue of meat sacrificed to idols and then sold. "If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, 'Hey, this has been offered in sacrifice to an idol,' then don't eat it for the sake of the one who informed you." In other words, limit your liberty by love for the other person. Do it for the sake of conscience. Verse 29, "I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks?" And we'd have to go back and look at a lot of that. But bottom line, he says in verse 31, here's it. It is verse 31. When it comes to Christian liberty, when it comes to all of life, Paul says, "So whether you eat or drink," or here's an inclusive, "whatever you do, do all to" what? "The glory of God." Glorifying God. That is the big umbrella. Bearing fruit, being spiritually productive brings glory to God. It is not for us. It is not necessarily for a particular church. Ultimately, it's for the glory of God. And the big idea is this. We wrote it out on your outline. By a fruitful life, by a spiritually productive life, the believer glorifies God. Bottom line. Or you can glorify God by bearing fruit. You want to magnify God? You need to be intentional about being fruitful. We're not talking about the professional Christians. We're not talking about the ones who've gone to school or whatever. We're talking about every believer in Christ can glorify God by bearing fruit. Important and huge topic. And that's why this week I've leaned on Dr. Rari, who is teaching in his little book called Transformed by His Glory. Five quick areas this morning. Number one, let's talk about the nature of spiritual fruit. And this will not be exhaustive. This will just be touching on some things. The nature of spiritual fruit. The issue is, what is fruit? What is spiritual fruit? And the answer is, I think I wrote it out there. The answer is, or one definition of spiritual fruit is, any work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Any work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And since that's not real specific, we'll offer you two categories of fruit in the New Testament. When you study spiritual productivity in the New Testament, you'll find spiritual fruit listed with developing a Christian character. You want to be spiritually productive? Work on developing Christian character. Developing a Christian character is fruit. And two passages come to mind, which I'll give to you and read to you. Galatians 5, you're familiar with this, talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is producing the character of Christ in us. That's Christian character. That is fruitfulness. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. The Spirit of God develops that in us. We work on that. That is fruit. 2 Peter, this one's quite intense. This one's really powerful coming from Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 8, Peter lists Christian characteristics to be developed for fruitfulness. 2 Peter 1, verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection with love. And then Peter says this, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective, or here it is, unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. When we actively exhibit and further develop characteristics, we're bearing fruit. And we're bearing fruit when we're bearing spiritual productive, we are being we are bringing glory to Christ. If you're taking notes, two bottom line characteristics that will transform our behavior, if you look at those two lists in detail, would be love and self-control. Love and self-control need to be developed. And I'm reading a book on habits from a professor out at the Masters University. That's the one where Dr. MacArthur is the president. He talks about how we will not be interested in any of this unless the Spirit of God first moves upon our hearts, and that's so true. Now, Tim mentioned this morning in Ephesians, but some passages, they deal with characteristics. Some passages list spiritual fruit, and this is interesting, with ongoing good works. Ongoing good works. When you are involved in good works, biblical good works, you are being spiritually productive. You are bringing glory to God. And I don't think I need to say this, but I will, because we're on NBC or whatever Tim puts it. What are we on out there? Live television. Good works do not save. You know that. Good works do not save. They're not necessary for initial justification, but those saved by grace through faith, purely by trusting in Christ alone, are often described as those who are involved in doing good works, all right? That's what we're saved for. I need to read these verses to you again because sometimes they're just taken out of context. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, there are no commands. There are no commands. These are descriptions of a Christian, all right? Sometimes we read Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and we tell people to do something. Paul is describing a believer, all right? He's just describing. He says, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. That's a description. And this is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But then he says this. He carries his description a little further when he says, for we are his workmanship. That's every believer. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're saved by grace, by faith, apart from works, but we're saved in order that we are to be spiritually productive. That's why you plant fruit trees, right? Some of us in New Jersey plant grapes just for decoration. Okay, we would do that, and we would let the grapevines go all over the place because we thought they looked pretty. Out here, people don't do that. When they plant things, They want to see productivity, do they not? They want to see fruit. Very, very important. In fact, there's a lot of good verses here. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, and speaking about what Jesus Christ did for us, it says, He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possessions who are, what's it say here? Is that being projected? What's that say? Zealous for good works, excited, intentional about good works, because those good works are spiritually productive and they ultimately bring glory to God. So a life of good works is a fruitful life. We studied, we spent a lot of weeks in the past in Colossians, but Colossians 1 verse 10 says this, so as to walk, we are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, here it is, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I want to mention three good works for now. There's a lot of good works in the Bible. In fact, if you're interested in studying good works, study the little book of Titus, because the whole theme of Titus is really get God's people involved in good works. That's being spiritually productive. There's at least, and Dr. Ryrie gives three categories of good works, all right? Many more, but he just mentions three, so I'll mention them. First one would be just witnessing. Gospel witnessing. When you're involved in any and every kind of gospel witnessing, you are involved in the good work. In fact, this is all over the New Testament, but in Romans chapter 1, verse 13, Paul talks about that. He said, I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to see you, but have thus far been prevented. I want to come in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as the rest of the Gentiles. That's witnessing. That's witnessing. That's fruit that comes from the gospel and evangelism and missions and every aspect of that. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, Philippians 4, verse 17. No, that's wrong book. Right, verse wrong. Wrong book. Let me see. Philippians 4, verse 17, it says, Paul is thanking the church for the offering they gave to him. And he's telling them in that passage, you know, he's okay. He's learned how to abase and how to abound. He's learned how to get along. He's learned the secret of being content. But Paul was really excited because of the fruitfulness of the church. And he says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. If you want to get involved in good works, giving to God's work is being fruitful. Not giving so you get something free in the mail or whatever else, your name on a plaque, but giving so that the gospel goes forth, so God's work is being promoted. So there's witnessing, there's giving. That's a good work. Giving's a good work. And then there's one more that I don't think we often think of or take seriously at times. There's the good work that the Bible calls praising the Lord. Giving God glory, praising through words, through singing. Hebrews 13, really dealing with the high priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, says this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, through Him, that's Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. That's a good work. That's a good work. That is being spiritually productive. So witnessing, giving, praising. Now, Roman numeral 2. How to go about increasing the yield of fruit. We want more fruit, right? In John 15, verse 16, Jesus said this to the 11 disciples. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain or abide, so that whatever you ask in my name, he may give it to you. And I read verse 8 before about bearing much fruit. How do I go about increasing the yield of fruit? Those out in Adams County, is that sort of like the apple capital of Pennsylvania, Adams County? Beeglerville, what's that? And my son just told me that Shady Maple's the best buffet in the country. He doesn't like buffets, but he told me, you know, he said, your buffet. He said, it's not my buffet, but anyhow, all right. The third in the nation, what's the other two? And what about upstate New York? Are they good for apples, or?
They're there.
They're there. All right. Okay. They're there. All right. If you take a ride through Adams County, it's beautiful out there. I mean, I just love sometimes getting in a car and going through East Berlin and getting on a road, and they're keeping that pristine and up through wherever we're going. We're going to Hanover today. We're going out there. Is that Hanover still York, right?
Half.
We were at the Rural King last Sunday. You know what the Rural King is? It's sort of a Christian version of Tractor Supply. I asked them, how come the Bible verses aren't on the brochure anymore? They didn't know. They got a manager, and we'll find out. Because they used to put Bible verses on the thing. I want to see Rural King. I got myself some bib overalls. I feel good to go. My wife's not around. I'm good to go. She'll love that when she gets back. We'll take pictures. Anyhow, I'm off track here. How do we increase the yield? When you go out to Adams County, you watch. They're pruning. They're fertilizing. They're watering. I won't tell you about some conversations I had with some of the apple growers out there. They said, you know, we had a drought. Last year, they said we had a little bit of a drought, so the trees were much more productive. I said, why is that? Well, the trees were traumatized. They didn't get the water they needed, so they compensated by putting out more apples, so the prices went down. It's wonderful. But what are they concerned about out there? Increasing the productivity. How do you do that spiritually? Well, there's three things here. I think I want to mention three. Number one, by encouragement from the vine dresser. You increase spiritual productivity, fruitfulness, by encouragement from the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, the vine dresser, takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. The vine dresser is involved with encouraging us to be more fruitful. He'll lift up the branches, and we'll talk about that next week. He'll take some away. We'll talk about that next week, okay? That's an interpretive issue, but he'll encourage us. Here's one that we don't necessarily care for. You increase productivity, second of all, right from the text, verse 2, by pruning. Some of you guys prune fruit trees here. What does pruning do? What's pruning do?
Helps a large tree, helps with fruit production, taking dead out. It allows a light.
Okay, allows a light in. It takes away the branches that are not being productive, taking energy away from the main vine. Some of them will produce either no fruit or poor fruit, so you want to do that. I used to watch my father. My father had 3.5 acres, and he just planted fruit trees all over the place. And come around, I think it was early spring, late winter, he'd go out there and say, Dad, what in the world are you doing? I mean, they're almost, it was like he used to give us haircuts, you know, trim a little off this side, trim a little off that side, trim a little off this side, and pretty soon there's nothing left. But anyhow, it was necessary. He said, we have to do this if we're going to have productive. And I'd rather let the branches grow. That's no good. But if we're going to be spiritually productive, there's going to be pruning, and constant pruning in the Christian life is necessary for fruit production. And I want to get into that more from the text next week. We'll push that off. But right now, you might be going through a pruning process and not realize that. There might be something going on in your life because I don't know if it hurts the trees or not, but it is usually painful when you're going through a pruning process. Something is going to be removed, all right, that doesn't belong there. And often God will use a painful process. And so you may be going through who knows what kind of situation, and sometimes you have to step back and say, you know what, God loves me, he's my heavenly father, he just wants the best for me, and maybe I'm not being punished, maybe I'm just being pruned so I'll be more productive. And it takes spiritual insight and patience. And sometimes we'll never know about these things until we're with the Lord, but it could be you're going through a pruning process. Hang in there. Encouragement, pruning, and then the big one, number 3, abiding. Abiding. You're going to be productive and more productive by abiding, remaining in the vine, remaining in Christ. 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to dip into 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Whoever keeps his commandments and you abide by being obedient, whoever keeps his commandment abides, remains in God, God in him. By this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. That's obedience. And it's our responsibility. Nobody can do the remaining, the abiding for us. A couple more things. Number three, third Roman numeral three, there's the experience of progression. There's the experience of progression in fruitfulness. And the growing up in grace, what you want to see, you want to go from seeing really no fruit to fruit to much fruit. And it takes time. It takes spiritual growth, fruit that remains, and experiencing progression, the prospect of heavenly reward. So that's experience progression. And then number four, you need to think about this in the process, avoiding retrogression, avoiding going backwards. It's possible. It's possible, you know this in the Christian life, to enter into a period of not producing much fruit, or of even backsliding, or just going backwards through sin, or just failing to abide. John 15, verse 6, and we'll interpret this for you next week. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch, withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown to the fire and burned. It's possible. It's possible for someone who's been really fruitful in the Christian life to go off course and not be productive. It's possible to go back, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And so, according to the Word of God, an important function of the church and meeting with the church is to encourage one another to keep on remaining, keep on abiding, keep being fruitful. In fact, the Word of God says this, you know this, but you may not think about it in the area of fruitfulness. Hebrews 10, 24 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Encourage one another, get involved with the talents they have, the abilities they have, to just be spiritually productive, and not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we as believers will be evaluated for what we did in the body. Were we fruitful, more fruitful, or were we just stale? And that'll come out at the judgment seat of Christ. Number five, ultimately for this morning, ultimately the goal in all of this is God's glory. The goal is God's glory. John 15, verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, my Father is magnified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. And so a couple reminders here. Number one, I said this before, I'm going to say it again, as long as I have voice, breath to do so, you can be spiritually productive, even in older age. And everybody in this room is growing older, I think. Anyone not growing older? Everyone's growing older. You can still be productive. And you may be able to retire from certain jobs, but not from the Christian life, okay? There's more work for you to do. And I'm praying that for some, the older years will be the most spiritually productive because there's wisdom, there's a lot of things. Number two, what I want to say is you can begin anew today. You can begin afresh saying, I want to be more productive. I need to work on that. I need to work on spiritual cultivation. Summertime is a great time. It's too hot out there to do anything. How many times you mowed the lawn this week? Is that true? I thought it was like twice a day. You Yorkers. I talked to a guy out here. He was sharpening his blade every other mow or something like that. Yes, it's proceed, okay? But, you know, it's too hot sometimes outside. Don't hurt yourself physically. Spend some time when it's cooler or whatever, or earlier in the morning. Just spend some more time slowly reading through the scriptures. And if you say, you know, someone said to me, that's too much for me to read. Just read a little bit. Just read a little bit. You know, there's no contest. Just get into the Word of God and ask God to help you to be productive, more productive, to glorify Him. Good works and evangelism are two key areas that you can get involved. Many of you are involved in these. You can do more. You can do today. And bottom line, it's not for this church. It's not for me. It's for God's glory. It's for God's glory. And there's nothing like knowing that you're pleasing your Heavenly Father, who can say one day, well done, well done. Welcome home. Thank you, Father, for your word. Encourage us. Thank you for many here who have been spiritually productive and even more spiritually productive. Encourage our hearts to just do our best for the Master while we have the opportunity to redeem the time, knowing the days are serious. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and these opportunities in Jesus' name.